This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and today I am blessed to be joined by two individuals from Home to Enhance African Life, HEAL. Nick Costello, he is the president. Nick is an advertising sales representative and lives in Chicago. He has been friends with the founder, Brother Leo, for over 15 years. Originally, Nick and Leo met when they were in the seminary together in the United States back in 1998. Since then, Nick has been the supporter of the mission and is now the president of HEAL. He earned his Bachelor of Business Administration degree from Notre Dame and is an active member of the Knights of Columbus. I'm also joined by Leo Okonkwo, the vice president and founder of HEAL. Leo is a servant and scholar pursuing education in order to better serve others. Leo has received his Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome, his Master's Divinity, Master's of Divinity, and Master's of Theology at Holy Apostles College and Seminary in Connecticut, postgraduate degrees in education at Imo State University in Nigeria, and is a third-year law student at the National Open University of Nigeria, pursuing a bachelor's degree in legal studies. He is also the founder of Water for Life. Thank you very much for joining me, both of you, here today on WSFI Spotlight. It is going to be a pleasure to talk to you about HEAL.
Thank you, Bill. We're very glad to be here.
Tell our listeners just a little bit about what HEAL is.
HEAL is a new nonprofit organization based in Chicago to serve the spiritual, educational, and material needs of poor and marginalized widows and orphans in the Niger Delta area, which is in southern Nigeria.
I'd like to find out from you, Leo, a little bit about how this mission began.
Yes, as very habitual to many people in third world from poor families, I experienced a first-hand experience of parents of being given away to a family that is wealthy as a servant. So I didn't have the opportunity to go to school because I had to stop my education in junior elementary to become a servant to this wealthy man so that he can support my family way back home in my country. While I was there, it was discovered that I was a gifted student in mathematics and calculus, because in junior elementary, I could do as much difficult problems in mathematics as in high school, So it was then my master found out that and promised to send me to school. So eventually, I took an entrance examination to go to school. It happens to be a Catholic seminary, and my master was not a Christian, and so he didn't want to spend his money training what he called infidels. So fortunately, I did a prayer to St. John Bosco, given to me by a Catholic young man who is today a priest. And when I finished the novena, it was during that novena that I made a commitment to God that if I could have someone who would help me to go to school and to go to seminary, that I was going to give my life, not just becoming a priest, but to become a slave, a servant of the poor, wherever they are in the world, that I was going to look for them and search them. It looks like a miracle. Of course, it was a miracle because at the end of the 9 days, a novena prayer to St. John Bosco, a priest, a Catholic priest in the parish nearby, announced my name in the church. That's how I was called, and I went. And I was given admission, promised to go to the seminary. I was taken to the seminary, and I was given admission. He paid for my first year, and that's it. When I finished, my result was so well, I was given scholarship for the rest of my studies in the seminary. One thing led to another. Even I went to the university in my country, the seminary, Claretian Institute of Philosophy, which was affiliated to Gregorian University, Rome. And when I finished that, and through prayers, because I was involved in some prayers, charismatic prayers, and a lot of opportunity was given to me socially and spiritually to attend to poor people, children who were drinking pond water and who were dying of the disease they contracted from pond water. And people thought they were being, you know, besieged by witches and wizards, you know, because of the animism and paganism spirit. So, but I also thought like that as well. But I prayed for these children. Some of them survived. Some died in my hands. I gave their corpse back to their mother as dead persons. So those things touched me. So when I came to the Western world, that is not America, to study, I began to feel for them. So I was praying and hoping that something would be done to these children. That's the beginning until the day at prayer. Having written all kinds of articles to support and to motivate people to think and fight for, you know, improvement in the life of these children, in the life of the third world country, and nothing was happening. So I went to the Blessed Sacrament, as usual, to go and pray. So when I got there and I was praying, I found that my prayer was more of a complaint. I was like, God, why are you not doing something? Why are people not responding to the letters, to the appeal, to the speech, to my article in the newspaper, in the Catholic Register of Toronto then? I wrote an article that in the face of human suffering, God does not know any religion. In other words, I believe that God would cherish his people when they are part and parcel of that self-emptying Jesus Christ who emptied himself for their own pain, for their own suffering in the world in order to redeem them. And so, while I was doing this complaint, I called prayer. I was challenged by the voice that I heard deep in my heart. You are calling people to come and help your people build schools, build hospitals, build roads. You, what are you doing with the money I gave you? By this time, I published a book in 1994 that sold heavily in my country. I saved my money. I didn't use it. I'm on scholarship. By this time, when I came to Canada, I was a math teacher. I taught calculus to grade high school OAC grade 13 students. They paid me. I saved my money. I didn't use it. By this time, I was paid $700 every month as a foreign student at the University of Toronto. I didn't use the money. I used old clothes that people wear in order to survive. So I realized that the money I was saving all along was God's money for the people, for the poor, that I promised in 1983 to become their slave and to use all I have to minister to them. So that very day, God reminded me that. And that's the beginning of Water for Life Mission, what you know today as HEAL, Home to Enhance African Life. That's the origin of our mission.
What a beautiful faith you have, Leo. It's just completely evident to me and to, I'm sure, all of you out there listening right now. What an amazing story, and God bless you for the amazing talents that you have to be able to bring healing to so many impoverished people. But I want to turn to Nick for a minute here and just ask you, how did you get involved with Leo? This is an amazing man.
Leo and I go back 16 years when in 1998 we met in the seminary, believe it or not. We were both seminarians for the Diocese of Rockford at that time, and it was at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in outside of Baltimore that we met. We were classmates for 1 year together. We attended class together and got to know each other a little bit as seminarians. So, and I learned a little bit about his mission back home, helping children who were experiencing sickness because of polluted water. I knew that was something that was in his heart from the get-go when we were in seminary together. You know, at that time, you know, we both ended up leaving the seminary. Priesthood wasn't in the cards for us, and we went our separate ways. I came back home to Chicago. Leo returned to Nigeria, but we stayed in touch. He would call me on occasion, and I would help him when I could. I was very busy, you know, with my life, but always supported Leo as a friend, you know, whenever I could since 1998. But then just last fall, about this time, Leo sent me an email and said he was coming to visit me in Chicago. And it wasn't a question. It was more of just a statement that he was coming and I needed to get ready. My initial reaction to that was I was resistant because I thought to myself, okay, Leo's my friend, but how long is he going to visit me in Chicago? You know, I'm a bachelor and I've got my pad. It's a one bedroom. Is he going to stay with me for like a week, 2 weeks, a month? I was happy he was coming to stay, but you know, I didn't want to be put upon. He ended up arriving in, you know, September of last year, and he's told me, Nick, there's an emergency. We're teaching the children at the orphanage school in just a thatched building, very unsuitable for their needs, and the government's putting pressure on me to build a more suitable structure because this is hazardous. They've given me a deadline to get this done, you know, or else they're threatening to shut down this mission, you know, that I've dedicated my life to. So I thought, okay, I mean, this is, you know, a legitimate urgency that Leo's bringing to me here. So, but again, I felt like resistance. I didn't really want to go the extra mile for him because I was so busy with my job and my Knights of Columbus work and, you know, other priorities that I had. I thought I would introduce him to some of my contacts, and we ended up going to Mass the first morning that, you know, he was in Chicago. That first morning after he stayed the night, we went to morning Mass at Holy Name Cathedral, and as it turned out, the priest celebrating this Mass was somebody that I knew from my time in the seminary, but I had two stints in the seminary, so I didn't know if it was the same stint that I had with Leo. I thought if it was the same time in seminary I had with Leo, they might know each other. So I decided I'll give it a chance and introduce Leo to him after Mass. After Mass, we went up into the sacristy, and I said, Father, this is my friend Leo, and immediately they recognized each other. And I thought to myself at that moment, you know, that little leap of faith that I took, it paid off. And there are many other stories I could tell that I just experienced God's grace and the Holy Spirit telling me that this is a worthwhile mission, because everywhere that I brought Leo last fall and everybody I introduced him to who heard his story, they were inspired, just like the story you heard him tell. And I became inspired, and I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, asking me to do more. And, you know, so that's why I got more involved, and that's ultimately how HEAL was founded. It was in the fall of last year, you know, that we founded HEAL, and we received our tax-exempt status very shortly after we founded the organization.
Before we hit the break here in just a few minutes, I want to find out from you, what are some of the things that HEAL has accomplished?
I'll go first here, and then I'll let Leo follow up. But I mentioned the urgent need that brought Leo to Chicago last fall, which was this school structure. So we spent a lot of time last fall and early into 2014 trying to raise the funds to build this new kindergarten building. And thank God we were able to raise those funds through some core supporters, including myself. This was before we've expanded out further. But in February of 2014, the new kindergarten school was erected, and so and that's visible on our website and in a promotional video that we just recorded. And then also, I myself was able to visit Nigeria back in March. So I met all of the missionaries and the children and the widows, and I was able to really get a sense of, you know, the people and how dedicated they are to making this mission work.
Yeah, I would like to add that it was an uphill task. It was really climbing the mountain almost with a bare hand, you know. But thanks to God and thanks to Nick and our friends, our supporters, who made it possible that within 2 months, what would have been a closed homeschool became one of the modern structure that has been built in that particular locality. Because of that building that we set up there, less than a month, the government of Nigeria, under the umbrella of NDDC, saw what we did and automatically approved a road, a construction of a road construction into the facility where this orphanage home is. In other words, the government recognized the good work that this mission is doing.
How beautiful. How beautiful is this story? We are talking with Nick Costello and Leo Okonkwo from HEAL. That is the Home to Enhance African Life. It's a Chicago-based organization that helps the poor and marginalized in Nigeria. We do have to take a break here on WSFI Spotlight, but we will be back with more conversation with both Nick and Leo. Right after this, I'm your host, Bill Snyder. You're listening to WSFI Spotlight, only on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio.
This is Joe Scheidler, the National Director of the Pro-Life Action League, headquartered in Chicago. I'm asking you to please to pray today for every woman facing a problem pregnancy that she will not choose abortion.
Matt Tomlinson here. Want a career with Catholic values? Then look at Catholic Financial Life. For over 145 years, Catholic Financial Life has provided careers for men and women with the energy, drive, and desire to assist fellow Catholics with their insurance and financial goals. You may be who we are looking for. Go to CatholicFinancialLife.org or call Jim Schaefer at 800-348-2648. 1-800-348-2648.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here on WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and we're talking with both Nick Costello and Leo Okonkwo of Home to Enhance African Life. That is HEAL, and it is based in Chicago, but it helps, their organization serves the poor and the marginalized in Nigeria. And so I would like to kick off this half of our interview, just a little bit about what are some of the conditions of the poor and the marginalized that you serve, Leo, in that are in your care, the widows and the orphans that are in your care.
Thank you so much, and listeners, I really would like to share some of the experiences of the widows and orphans. You know, these are families, you know, where the husband, the breadwinner, is dead. And most of the times, the family members, uncles or cousins, could drive away the wife, you know, the widow, and the children are left on, you know, begging on the road, or people that are really originally came from a background that is very poor, that have nothing, but they end up on the streets, or people that are also working very hard, you know, farmers, peasant farmers. But they are not able to send their children to school to train them, you know. So they end up either becoming street boys or girls or people who are abandoned in the ghettos. The kind of conditions that we found and that we see, and it reminds me of my own original condition when I really was giving away. If not the grace of God and the gifts that God gave to me, perhaps I would have also ended up like that. So I realized where I am today, that they could be brought there. They could be brought to that level of education and formation and also level of subsistence, at least self-contained, and love for God and love for the people of God and love for one another. So these are some of the conditions. And of course, there are poverty-stricken conditions. We know the alarming conditions of the sick, the dying. And we know also, like somebody like Scholastica Chinne Merem, who is a sister to Faustina. These two girls are in our home today, and they are actually orphans in the sense of they lost their father to Boko Haram shoot bombing in Niger State, and their mother also is mentally challenged. So people told us about the child, about the mother, and we looked for them and we took them. So both the mother and the child is also, they are also with us, receiving the support in the home and also receiving training, and they are all homeschooling in our homeschool.
One of the things that I also want to ask you, because It says on your website that you instruct these children also in faith and in Jesus Christ and in God. And how has God manifest himself in this mission to bring, these children out of poverty?
It's a wonderful thing to say, and the story could take the whole day and the whole year. To say to you, you know my story already, but it's not me alone. I'm not the only one working here. I'm not the only one doing this. We have volunteer workers. When I started this homeschooling after I finished my graduate studies and returned to Nigeria, and started because I found it difficult. You know, I found it difficult to pay for these children's school fees that I started homeschooling. There were young men and women that became interested in what I was doing. They started coming together to help me, some of them to bath these children because some of them could not bath themselves, of course, to prepare food for them, because I told them, we are going to homeschool, we're going to stay together, live together as a family. So it became necessary that somebody has to cook food, someone has to get the food, someone has to prepare, someone has to farm. You know, we're doing all this ourselves because we didn't have funds, we didn't have the support. So as we were doing this with those volunteer workers that came, there were some that already have had degree in education. Some are just secondary school, high school leavers. They were volunteering their effort. And I drew the curriculum based on my training so that they could follow standards of education and the religious formation and training. So this group became known as Messengers of Justice Missionaries. They are today a religious congregation of sisters. We have about 35 of them, and only about 9 of them are professed members that are living both in Nigeria and in Cameroon. We also have the brothers who are now messengers of justice, brothers who are going to become priests. And we are working by next year after their profession to look for seminaries in the United States or in Nigeria or anywhere where we could get support to send them to seminary to study for the priesthood.
So I want to find out what are some of the long-term goals and visions that you have for HEAL. Maybe, Nick, this is a good question for you.
Yes, we have a vision, and it's Leo's vision, really. The idea is to lift up these poor and marginalized children and these widows out of their dire conditions of poverty and spiritual desolation, after the example of Jesus' self-emptying. As Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 6, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. This is the spirituality that Leo teaches his missionaries in their ministry, in their teaching to the children, and in their advocacy for these widows. The long-term vision of HEAL, based upon that spiritual foundation, is to provide an education that will allow them to sustain themselves, which will allow them to start their own business so that they can have a life of dignity, as well as to uplift them spiritually and so they know the love of Jesus in their lives. The way this will happen is we are giving them an education in primary, secondary school, but then we also want to provide them with agricultural skills training. Currently, we have a poultry project where Leo's older brother, Andrew, is training the missionaries in the raising of poultry from day one up until 3 months, which is maturity. And we want to create a poultry farm, which will be a revenue-generating operation which will pay for the expenses of the entire homeschool. And we've projected the revenues that would come from it, and we've done the market surveys, and we are highly confident that this will be a revenue-generating project for us that can support us. Once we get that established, then HEAL will be able to focus on our growth projects, and we want to build a university on these grounds in this remote rural village in southern Nigeria so that the children will have the academic learning and they will have skills training to complement that so that they can sustain their own lives and have a way to develop themselves in their own country in Nigeria without feeling the pressure that they have to leave. They have to, you know, get an education and then leave for the United States or for Britain because there's no opportunity where they live. We want to give them opportunity where they live based upon what we're doing through our current homeschool and eventually through Heal University, which is the long-term vision.
That's wonderful. Really well planned out, well thought out, so that you're lifting them up.
It's wonderful also to know that, yes, my brother, in our family, we have poultry farms and we rear chickens. So this is just like a volunteering time for my brother to the community in order to support them. Because if we were to send them somewhere to go and learn this, we'll have to pay for it. So that is a kind of generosity and support from the family to support the missionaries and the children. So as soon as they have gotten the knowledge and the experience, then they will return to the home to begin the home farming, home poultry and the rest of them. And it's also in the same spirit of self-emptying, because all the missionaries, all those who are working with us are not paid because of the vow of poverty which all of us make by way of submission to the will of God, to Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not, you know, count equality to the divinity and eminence and excellence and wealth that he is as God. But he emptied all that and took the form of a slave in human form. That's what Jesus did. That's what we are called to do. That's what the missionaries are doing. And it is in this whole exercise, in this whole actions, activities that is selfless, that they discover the love of Christ, the charity of Jesus, the agape love. Before I end that matter, I just wanted to say that it reminds me of the day I came back and the children all gathered to me. You know, they call me dad. You know, I answer though, a man with 70 children, you know what that means. So they call me dad. I say, yes. They said, I have something to say to me. I said, what is it? They said, Dad, we are missionaries of compassion sent to you.
For our listeners, we are listening to the voices of Leo Okonkwo and Nick Costello. They are the president and vice president, the HEAL, which is a home to enhance African life. So this has just been a great conversation, one that I'm enjoying very much. You're calling all of us to action and into service. I want to make sure that we are able to respond appropriately. Those of us who are interested in joining your efforts, how does that happen? How do we get in contact with you?
A couple of ways, very simple. First, you can visit our website, which is www.healnigeria.org. And on our website, on the homepage, you'll see there's a promotional video. It's 2.5 minutes. It gives you a short summary of what HEAL is all about. Also on the website, there's a newsletter subscription. It's the Join Our Family button. If you click on that and you just put in your name and email, we write a weekly newsletter. It comes out every Thursday. It's not very long, but it'll give you an update on what's happening on the ground in Nigeria, so you'll see what we're doing. And then also you can donate on our website. You'll be able to find that relatively easy. You can donate one time or monthly via credit card, and we would very much appreciate your support. When you donate, you'll enter your name, email. You can enter your physical address as well if you'd like to receive our quarterly newsletter in print. Those are the ways you can become a co-missionary with us in helping the poor and marginalized widows and orphans and enhancing their life. And finally, if you'd like to contact us directly, our email is hello@healnigeria.org.
Thank you so much, Nick and Leo, for spending time with me here today on WSFI Spotlight. May God bless your missions and just continue to shower blessings on you as you serve the poor and marginalized and the orphans and widows, like Jesus calls us all to do.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too, and God bless you, audience.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Until next time, thank you for listening.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.